I just want to thank God for such a wonderful welcome from Pastor Glenn, who has been a friend for the very time. First time I met him in Mombasa, he became a big blessing to us. And when he requested me to come over this time, I made it possible to be here. And just before I share the word of God, which is going to be such a blessing to each one of us, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to have my friend. And not only just a friend, he's like a father figure. And in my life, I'll be sharing some of my testimony in my life. I never had an opportunity to know that people can love someone. But some few months ago, I had an opportunity to go to Grand Cayman, where I discovered love never fails. And that has really changed my life, just to understand. And we were in a program that Love Never Fails with Pastor Ebax together with Kathy. And it changed my life. And I'm so pleased and just encouraged to have them here. And I just want to honor them in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much. Grand Cayman has been a big blessing. It has been like a home to me, where they just became part of life in my ministry. The church in Grand Cayman has been part of our ministry in Kenya. As you have heard Pastor saying, we take care of orphans, giving them hope in Jesus. And not only the orphans, it's such a big move of God. I was so pleased to have the Maasai here. As you saw the Maasai dancing and this water project, I never ever dreamed in my life one day it will be what it has been. Because I remember some years back when God gave me the first calling to reach the Maasai's. And we were with my wife. We went somewhere just to, for a weekend, just to relax. And I met this man who had a big basket, carrying a big basket in his hand. And he came to me and he asked me whether I could have given him equivalent of $5 in Kenyan shillings. And I looked at him and I didn't have that money. So I told my wife. My wife never had that amount of money. He had a bigger bill than that. So we had to tell him to go and look for the change so that we could bless him. And he went, asked for other people whether they could get a change. And when he came back, I was to give him the $5 he wanted. And the Holy Spirit told me just to give him a bit more, like $50, something like that. And but I asked him, why did he want the money for? And he told me that he has just left the hospital, and what he was carrying was a body of his dead baby. They were in the hospital, the baby died, and because he's a Maasai, he had just carried it, going somewhere to throw it and bury it. And that one moved me so much. And I told my wife, now you have to take a private means to go home because I must help this man to bury that the daughter. And we took the body back to the mortuary. I organized for the coffin and other thing for the burial. And it was through that I was able to start my ministry to minister to the Maasai. Because when he went back and he told people what I had done to him, the Maasai opened the door, and that's how we were able to get all the Maasai team you saw here. And evangelism in the Maasai started. And it has been a blessing. But when I started that, I shared about the Maasai in Mombasa, where God moved in that conference. And Dr. Kellner felt it is time for the Maasai and the rest of the team. And our brother Ebax was a blessing that day. He gave the first seed for the water project during that particular time in Mombasa. But I never thought it will be a time where even the Maasai will get an opportunity to come to the U.S. So it has been a week of a blessing to see God's fulfillment. And God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. There's nothing wrong to shout amen. God is faithful.
Amen.
God is faithful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One of my weaknesses is that I'm a happy preacher. And I find it difficult sometimes to preach to a quiet church. The reason is, I always preach by faith. Now, when you hear any preacher saying that he preaches by faith, it means the only way you can be blessed, you must also listen by faith. Because I'm preaching by faith, which means even when I'm not saying any point, you should just have faith the point is coming and say amen. So that's how preaching by faith, it means you have just to believe God, this message is going to be good. I just have faith, he must preach, speak to my life. So that's what you have to just say amen when even I just say hallelujah, just say amen. So I'm preaching by faith. You must receive by faith, and God will bless you by faith. You know, living by faith is tough. You know, when you're here in the West, in the U.S., you don't require much faith. I've discovered that. You don't need much faith. But when you're in a place where, like where I come in Africa, that's where faith is really required, because everything has to be by faith. But here, you have many things that can take a place of faith. And my life has been brought up by faith. And I believe God for everything. I always believe God for the next move. I believe God for the next minute. I believe God I'm in a place in life whereby if God does not do something from the next 2 seconds from now, then nothing will be done. That's how I am strong, believing in faith. But I'm so blessed for you to be here, because we have not gathered unto any man. It is so easy when people, when a pastor introduces for a preacher, people get an expectation. And I really don't know what you are expecting today. But what I know is this, God will bless you in the name of Jesus. I don't know your expectation, because this everyone without you know, expectation is the key to any success. In our country, I don't know whether you call it maternity or labor ward here, but in our country we call it the maternity, where women go there, they get children, they give birth to children. And in our country there was a woman who was in a labor, in a maternity there for, is it 11 years without having a child? And you know, there are some women even don't reach there. They get a baby on the way. There are some who just go there 2 minutes, they have a baby. But she was there for 11 years. And I decided to know why. I discovered she was not pregnant. Because it's not being there, it's being pregnant that brings a baby. She was expecting nothing, so she never received anything. So you can be here, you are not expecting anything. I want to assure you, you won't get anything. But if you are expecting a touch from God, you will be touched from God in the name of Jesus. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for your blessing at the ministry of your word. Add your blessing, O God, that at the end of this meeting, we shall all come out with one accord saying, surely we have seen the hand of God. I bless each and every listener in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, take over now. Take over my tongue as a hand of a ready writer in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord you've made, that we may rejoice in it. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. So allow me to preach from this particular position. I want to read a scripture in the book of Psalms 79, verse 11. Psalms 79, verse 11. Psalms 79, verse 11, the Bible says, may the groaning of a prisoner come before you by the strength of your arm to preserve those that are condemned to die. For those with another translation, it might be reading like this: may the cry of a prisoner come before you according to your strength to preserve those with an appointment with death. And another translation also says that God, with your mighty arm and power, with your ability and strength to protect those with an appointment with destruction. I want just to bring to your attention that in this life is a journey. We are living a life in this world, and it's a great journey of life. And here David is bringing one of the most powerful psalm that I love to recite, when David is saying, may the prayer of a prisoner come before you, God, according to your power to preserve those with an appointment with death. We know one thing, anywhere in the world, there is something that does not come late. Death knows how to keep its appointment. Appointment, when death makes appointment with someone, it might never fail. It doesn't come late, it comes on time. But here, God is speaking, David is saying to us something that is stronger than death, and that is the arm of God, the hand of God, that can preserve people that have been appointed, people that have got appointment with destruction. And this is the message that I want to share with the church while I'm here. And it's a simple message. It's a message of hope. One of the things God has given in my life is just to share with people hope. Nothing but hope. Just to give someone hope. Because I have known this, that when the enemy wants to destroy somebody's destiny, when the enemy wants to distract your vision, when the enemy wants to steal your joy, he only attacks one thing in you, and that is hope. When your hope is taken in anything, when your hope in prayer, when your hope in seeking God, when your hope in doing what you're doing is taken, you get discouraged. And the energy to perform, the energy to do the will of God is taken away from you. And when that energy is taken away from you, you are willing, you can die, you can fail, you get discouraged, you get oppressed. And today, in the name of Jesus, I believe today someone here, I might not have met you nor know you, but someone here is going to be set free from discouragement in the name of Jesus. Someone here is going to be set free from oppression in the name of Jesus. Someone is going to be set free from discouragement, from the destructive force of devil that brings the spirit of depression in our lives. In the name of Jesus, at the end of this, we shall receive that hope of glory. David is talking of something very, very powerful. That God has got power to hear the cry. The cry. I know. And this is the key of the word that I want you to really underline. It's the cry. May the cry. There's a cry in our lives that touches the heart of God. From Genesis. From the time when Abraham had to send away Hagar. She went away from the house when she was married. She had a baby with Abraham. And Abraham had to reach a point in time to send her away together with the child. And they reached a place where there was no water. There was no food. And she started crying. She left the baby somewhere to die. And the angel of the Lord came. And he told her, listen, the Lord has heard a cry of the baby. There are cries in our lives that God hears and he answers. And that is the key of the word today, that God can hear some cry. There are some tears that touches the heart of God. This has happened to my life because of the kind of life I've lived. As I've said, I'm going to base all the message into my testimony. I was born in Kenya, in that town that I'm preaching right now called Nakuru. Nakuru is one of the biggest cities in Kenya, maybe the third biggest, largest city in Kenya, with about 700 population of 700,000 people. And it was in that particular place where I was born. And it happened in life that when I was 8 years old, my parents had an accident and they died on the spot. My mother and my father and my brother, they were in the same car driving from one town to another, and on the way they died. And that time, the hope I had in life, that was the end. It just diminished. And I can never forget this as long as I live. An 8-year-old boy going back home from school and finding the police vehicle in our compound and asking what's wrong. And then finally I hear a message that your parents died on the road accident, and that was the end of my life. And from that time, our uncle tried to take care of us, and he could not make it. We started suffering, and we decided we shall not suffer together with my brothers. We shall not suffer in the hands of my uncles. We would rather go to the street and start living on the street. So as a young boy, at the age of 8, I started living on the street, eating from the garbage, sleeping outside like an animal, and no having no hope, waiting for one thing: one day we shall die. And it happens that I lost my brothers on the street. They died, and I survived many, many dangers and terror on the street. And I lived a life that I never knew one day I will grow up, because it is the truth, it's a fact, that when you're on the street, you never reach 15 years old because you don't eat right food. And I'm talking of garbage in Africa, not in America or in Cayman Island, because you don't have garbage. You have food on the street. We have proper garbage. People think that people throw, people are poor in Africa. So when a poor person throws something, it must be really poor. And that's what we would eat. And I want to tell you, brothers, I lived a life where I've eaten dead animals. I've just eaten anything that I could find to get myself survived. And at the age of 15, my heart was away from God completely. I never believed there was God. I became a survivor. I started surviving on my own, believing in me that if I can do anything, because everything, I was facing death day in and day out. And life on the street was so tough. Every time I wake up, I just thank God that he kept me up to this time, that I'm alive to tell this, that God, he has got ability to preserve anybody with an appointment with death. He has got ability to bring life where there is no life. He has got ability to bring hope where there is a hopeless condition, like what I went through. And it was in that area in life where my heart became against God. I believed I could do anything. I was, you know, when you're hurting, you end up hurting people. When you're broken, you end up breaking people. When you're discouraged, you become an agent of discouragement. You end up discouraging people. So I became a young man who would bring discouragement, who would bring destruction, who would bring hopeless in the life of many people in our nation. And it was in that situation, I was so much discouraged with life. I never ever thought that I will be able to preach or to be what I am today. But thank be to God who gives us victory through Christ Jesus, that he is a friend that can come in when other friends are walking out. He's the only good man who can come in and bring hope where there is no hope. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, in that situation of life, in that way of living that I lived in, I knew that I was only having an appointment with the death. One day, I will never forget this. I had taken a pass. You know, when we became a street boy, the other alternative was to steal from people. And I had taken a handbag from a woman. And when I was trying to run away, I could not run that fast, and I was caught. In Kenya, we have something we call mob justice, When you're caught as a thief, you are stoned to death. And they bring matchbox and fuel. They burn your body alive. And I remember I was running and I tripled. I fall down and they caught me and they stoned me properly. I had stoned from every side, stoning me. And they got fuel. They poured fuel on my body. They only lacked a matchbox. Thank God that day there was no smoker. Nobody had a matchbox among the whole crowd. And my elder brother, he's called Reuben, came, removed me from the robbers. And while he was trying to save me there, he was trapped there. And he was beaten to death. He died there and I escaped to come today here to tell you there is God who can give hope. That was the only reason why I didn't die that time. That was the reason that time I never perished. God had to preserve me to be a witness today to the world, not only to you people, to the world. And God has been reminding me today when I was just thinking, what will I start? How will I start today to bring the word of God? God has been bringing to me this word. There is a God of hope despite the situation and where we have been. And I know this message, some of you might not have ever had opportunity. I may not understand what I'm talking about. But I just want to give you the picture of the other side of the world. The world that you might not be living in. And you might not be in that world, living in such a world of terror. But in your life right now here, there might be small things, yet they are bringing the same pain as if you are in big things. Because you might not have gone to a life where you are facing fear and death every day. But you are in a place where you are not having freedom in your spirit, which happened in my life. And that's why God came strongly with this word to me, that there is a cry that God can hear. And when God hears this cry, he can turn things upside down. But most of us, we have never known that God loves such a broken spirit that can seek to him. And that's why today, when I was just thinking to come and share with you, I just said, I'm not coming to you on my strength. I'm coming to you in my weakness, just to share with you that which I have seen God performing in my life. That my mess became my message. And that's why I'm sharing with you this, that God can bring hope to any hopeless situation. And that's why many times the angel of God appeared to people. And one of the things the angels always confirmed to people was, is there anything too hard for God? Brothers and sisters, there is nothing that is impossible with God. He is a mighty God. He is our everlasting Father. And he has called us to this glorious salvation that we may be able to experience his power here on earth. Here on earth, we can experience the full power of our Heavenly Father, who came when I was there with an appointment with death. He rescued me where people would have killed me some years back. And it was until when I was, I'm just rushing my testimony, when I was 17 years old and I gave my life to Christ. It was not easy to become a Christian from such a background, to believe in God, that there's God who can change and bring hope to your life. And it was not easy. It was never easy. I had to went to a meeting planning to steal and to bring pain. And there was Jesus, who was able to open his loving arm and to welcome me in his kingdom. And from that time, I've been walking and living and just serving him in his ministry. And together with my family, we have been seeking God to do the will of God that he has called me to do in this very world. And that's why God is speaking to your heart today, that is there anything? Let the prayer of a prisoner, let the cry of a prisoner come before you, God. According to your power, there is power that is invested in God. that is so great. And in that power invested in God, it is the power to rescue anybody with an appointment with destruction. And that's when I'm sharing like this, I just feel there are people going through different things. Sometimes we think problems. It's a particular way. But there are problems that people are facing. There are people, they look okay, they look all right, but down deep their heart, they are hurting because there is an appointment with the destruction. The enemy came for one reason. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have life indeed. But the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is the main purpose of the enemy existence of the devil. But God has come that we may have that hope. The hope that can bring our cry when we break before God. When we call upon that name desperately, he is able to deliver us from any force of darkness. Any plans of the enemy can melt when we are desperately pouring our hearts. Now, when the Bible says the cry of a prisoner, it is different from when someone cries because he's suffering. There's a cry that reaches the heart of God that brings attention in heaven when you are in a situation of need. This has happened to my life not once, many times, when we have been in a desperate position where we find that man cannot help. Where you find that your friends, you know, there is sometimes we have to face things in our life as an individual. This time we are in a corporate, we say, our God is good, our God is great. But times comes in life when you need to face your God, not our God. There's a time in a family when we face a problem as a family, when we face a situation. And let me tell you, but there's a time in life when you have to face something that even your wife doesn't understand, your children don't understand, you are the only one facing it. And when you are in that situation, people might come with comforting words. People might tell you it's all right. People might tell you, brothers, we shall pray with you. Sister, we are together with you. But let me tell you, they don't know what you're going through. You are the only one who knows. There is sometimes things that become personal where you have to face it. And that particular time when things become personal, it is the only time God always requires you to cry before him. That's the time you can cry out and make it calling your heart before God and pour it before God. And tell God, unless you do it, no one else can do it. Because the enemy is out to destroy. The enemy is out to bring you down. The enemy is not afraid of what you have. He's never afraid of success. That's why we have people who are so successful, yet they are the most tormented people. He doesn't care what you own. You can have a nice, there are people who believe when they had this, they will have peace. You have it, you don't have peace. You know, you think, now I'm trying to think like an African. Sometimes I think, I used to think, once I get a car, and I'm telling you the truth, the first time I got a car, I slept in it. I never left it out. I never went to my bedroom. I could not believe that I had my own car. And I was so afraid of the thieves, they might steal it. So I decided to sleep inside. If they steal it, let them steal plus me inside. But 2 days later, I discovered it needed fuel. It needed gas. There was more problems about that car than the blessings. I discovered it was not everything I needed. I discovered it was not bringing the peace I thought it would bring. And I discovered it was just a car, like other cars. And then I trusted God Now I discovered I could now live. It was not everything I thought it was. And I know it is like that in life. You think if you had this, it will bring peace. It will bring joy. And once you get it, you discover it's just nothing. Because peace and joy is not in things. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happened now in life. When the time comes when you're facing a personal decision to make, when you are having a place you reach in time where your friends cannot help you, when people talk to you, their advice becomes like it doesn't do anything to you. That is the only time you discover it has reached a time for you to allow God to work in your innermost person. That's the time you have to allow Holy Spirit to break you down. That's the time you have to cry, to make that cry of a prisoner that can reach the heart of God, that can reach the heart of God and change any judgment the enemy has made. In Kenya, one of the things I do, I preach in prison. And the other day, they promoted me to be the chief. I'm in charge of all the chaplains of the prison in Kenya. We have about 200 prisons. So I'm the one who recommend to the government who should be a preacher in those prisons. And this is a big breakthrough because for many years, only the Catholics and the Muslims have been allowed to preach and to have churches in prison. But we thank God for the vice president who is a Christian, who has become now in charge of the prison. And through him, we have been able to be allowed to have Holy Ghost-filled churches in prison. People just where prisoners can go before the Lord and seek the face of God. And not long ago, I was speaking in prison on the same subject that God can hear the cry of a prisoner. And in this prison, I will never forget a friend called Joseph. Joseph is a man who was sentenced for death simply because in his place of work, his boss was found murdered. He was killed, and about 3-4 people were killed there. And he became the chief suspect. And they were able to find some of the evidence that, in Kenya, we have identity card. His identity card was lying next to the body. And because he's also from a very, very poor family, he could not put a defense about his life, what happened. So the judge found him guilty, and he was jailed for life. And because Joseph is from Kampala, Uganda, they had to send him to be jailed to finish his sentence. Because Kenya, we don't hang, we have life. But in Kampala, they can put you in a firing squad and being killed. And so he was in a line to be fired. The truth about Joseph is he never killed. He was not even part of the gang that committed the murder. But all the evidence that were needed were from him. And in our meeting, prison meeting, Joseph became a Christian. And it's easy to be a Christian when you know you'll die. Because after all, there is no much hope left. You'd rather try this side just in case you die, there'll be heaven. You know, when I was in hospital for many years, I was taught about heaven more than anybody else here, because nobody thought I was going to get well. So the Christian who came, they had no faith to pray for me to get well. They had faith to pray for me to die. So Joseph had no faith. He knew he was going to die because he has been on prison. He has been there for many years. And Joseph had this message that God can save people with appointment with death. And when he became a Christian, He one day, person, I'm not giving you a story, this is the truth. He came to me one of the days when we were to take to pray for him to be taken to Kampala, Uganda, so that a few days later he will go through the firing squad and he will be killed. So he came to me, said, "Mike, I'll meet you in heaven. And I tell you, I'm going to tell Jesus what you're doing." To me, it was an encouragement. I said, "Wow, Joseph." But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came upon me. And I said, "Joseph, you're not going to die. You shall live and tell the good news of Jesus. Because God has got power to preserve people with an appointment with death." And then all of a sudden, again, I came to my flesh. I said, "What did you say?" Have you ever known that sometimes you speak things in the spirit? When you come back to reality, you think you are the greatest liar? Because how can you tell someone who has gone through all that he will live, he will not die? And I felt so bad. I said, "Should I go back?" But already he was being escorted to the car. But Joseph took the word seriously. And he shouted while he was in that locked prison car. He shouted to me, said, "Mike, I am coming back to preach with you." And I felt so bad that I gave him promise. And I don't know what will happen. And this is the story from Joseph himself in jail. He had a divine visitation. He started crying before God. He just poured his heart before God. He just said, "God, I'm here. Heal me. Talk to me." And he was just crying and worshiping God. And it was only 2 days of his tears before God. He cried. This is what he says to us. He cried for 2 days, just pouring his heart before God. Just forgetting the situation. Forgetting where he is. Forgetting the judgment, the sentence. You know, there's a time it comes in life you have to forget who you are. When you want really to experience the presence and the power of God. You have to forget your time, your age, where you come from. You just concentrate on him. And he was there crying before God for 2 days. And that day, the boys in Kenya who committed murder decided to surrender themselves. They decided. It was a history. You can get the same story if you Google the prison Kenya. The boys in Kenya, They surrendered. They just came forward. They went to the newsroom. They said to the nation newsroom, they said, "Listen, we want to confess something. These two families that were killed at a particular place, we are the one who killed. These are the murder weapons. This what we did was to put justice, the other guy to be there." And it has never happened a case like that in Kenya. The president was forced to be involved. And this boy was recalled from Kampala. He was recalled because the prayer of a prisoner was in the throne of God. The cry of a prisoner was in the throne of God. And heaven could not sit still. Heaven could not sit still. God had to come down. And let me tell you today, this young man, Joseph, is preaching. He is preaching Jesus. He is preaching Jesus. And a president who is not even a Christian, these were the words he said. He said, "In the history of Kenyan crime and everything, we have never had people confessing. And for that reason, this man, Joseph, will be released and compensated by the government for the 7 years he was in prison." And Joseph, he is now the chief chaplain of the prisons in Kenya. He's now born again. He's preaching Jesus with an appointment with death. Is there anything too hard for him? Is there anything that we can reach a place? We complain a lot. We cry a lot when things doesn't happen the way we want. But God always says, "Let the cry come before me. Come before God You know, the problem with our cry is before people. We cry about other people. We cry about our problems. We don't cry before God. It is not before man. It's not before your oppressor. It's before the Almighty God. Let him know your pain. Let him know your situation. Let him know your failure. When you allow God to know who you are, he can fix an appointment that will destroy the appointment of the enemy. God can disappoint the appointment of the devil if we call upon his name. When I discovered this, and God said to me, when I plan to come to this church, there will be such a lifting. People's faith will be lifted from one glory to from one level to another. To know that in every situation, in your desires in this life, in your plans in this life, there is God of heaven who is just open to lift you up, who is willing to hear your cry, who is willing to give you hope. I tell you, for me, just to be here, it is not by my works. It's just by the hand of God. He has set an appointment before me, which the enemy had planned to bring appointment of death. Death's appointment cannot be destroyed by our money. It cannot be destroyed by our medicine or by doctors and everything. It can only be canceled by God. God can bring hope to people who are dying of cancer, people who are dying of diseases that the enemy have said they cannot get up. Someone today, I was talking to my friend Kenya Goody, this when I was just coming in, I said, I hope there were some ambulances around here bringing the sick people here. Because if people, we would have known the power that is invested in the name of Jesus, we would have put more trust in Jesus than in any other organization. He is the hope of glory. He is the hope of glory. He is the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, we are serving a living God. We are serving a God that has done greater things than what we have ever experienced in our life. And today, I want to invite you to experience the presence of God. Because many times, people come to church and they enjoy the music, they enjoy the preaching, and nothing happens to them. They don't feel the touch of God. And sometimes it's easy for us to prepare a good sermon, a good message that will make people come again next Sunday. But we forget it's not about the message. It is about his presence, his power, his anointing, his victory that can break the plans of the enemy. And without wasting any time, I will be giving you an opportunity just to receive a touch of God. Just to come and pour your heart before God. Just to come and tell God, here I am today, God. I want a touch. I will give you an opportunity just to come before God and say, God, is there anything you want me to understand in my heart? Because God is not in a business of touching your head. He's in a business of touching your heart. He's in a business of bringing hope. And that's why he has sent me here, to break things that has never been broken, to break fear that maybe you have never shared with anybody, to break pride that maybe it has never been shared with anybody, to break pain and plans of the enemy that maybe no one else has ever known about it. There is God of heaven here. Through his power, he can set people free. I want just to finish by these words. Early this year, we had a divine visitation in our church. And something, it will never come out of my life. Every time I think of, it was on a Sunday, normal Sunday service. I prepared the whole night, praying and fasting the whole week, trusting God to give me a great word for the Sunday. And there was no word coming forth. Never had any word. I felt so bad because I was going to the church without a proper word from God. And well, I stood before the congregation, and as your pastor told you, he was in our church. He saw everything. We had during the post-election, everything in our church was destroyed. They were burnt because we were involved in politics, and so everything was. We were targeted, and we were attacked, and we lost everything: our building, our equipment, and everything was just destroyed. And we had the people coming to church. Something shocking. I still had people coming. And when I stood before the people, very hot sun, I just told people, the presence of God is here. Because I never had the message. I just said, God is here. And once I said, God is here, I could not hold the microphone anymore. The presence of God came down. I went, sat down, waiting to see what happened. And all the people came before the presence of God. I left the church. I went home. I came back in the evening. Nobody had left the compound. I was shocked. People were there for 8 hours in the presence of God. What was the results? The result was 8 people in our church that were HIV positive received healing completely. They were set free from AIDS. That was the results. The result was people repented, families were restored. Healing took place that has never happened in my life. Because of only one thing, people came to the presence of God. I know Pastor invited me here because of your great love as a church that you have been doing, supporting people in the nations. Your giving not only has touched us, it has touched the heart of God. Because when we needed water in the Maasai land, in our country, you gave. People have been so faithful here. In their really giving. And it's easy for me also to be here, to come here and to tell you more things that can break your heart and give more and give anything you can give. And it will be great because I'll leave this place, go back to Kenya, build a big church, finish my roofing. But I feel that is not what God brought me for. I feel God brought me here to usher someone into his presence. To usher somebody into God's presence. And if that will happen, if that alone will happen, it will be worthy than anything else I can come out of with it. My desire is today somebody may receive a deeper healing. Immediately I entered this door, I started searching in the spiritual realm. What will I share? How will I bring the word of God? And the Lord just told me, for this very first day, I want to heal desperate hearts. I want to heal rejected people. There are people here, you know very well, you have been operating through the spirit of rejection. And this is a strong spirit because even yourself, you don't feel well about yourself. You don't like yourself the way you ought to. The thing is so strong that not only you're rejected, you have rejected yourself. And things does not work the way you want them to work. I can assure you nothing but in the presence of God. And let the cry of a prisoner come before God according to his power to preserve those with an appointment with death. To preserve those with an appointment with destruction. So, in a minute here, I don't want to take much time. I will usher you to the presence of God. And I'll just request you to bow your heads down before I will invite him back, and then I will be finishing. But I want to do this quickly. Just bow down your head before the presence of God. And if you just think God has spoken to you and you just feel that, God, I would like to be broken before you, I'm not going to take much time, because it's nothing to do with time. It's all to do with obedience. And you feel today you'd like just to come before the presence of God and take a few minutes, just kneel here in this holy altar. I can assure you, you'll come out of this place a different person. If you would like to take that step with me, I will request you just to stand where you are and to come forward before the presence of God. I won't mind if all of us can come. Let us just come and kneel before God and ask God for his mercy. Might be this day God has been waiting, when we can humble before him and he can bring a great restoration before his presence. I just feel healing taking place right now. I just feel the presence of God taking place right now. Alan's Pastor Ibax, just come here with me. Time comes in life such as this when God says, my son, my daughter, I've been waiting for such a time when I can have time with you, where can I speak to your heart, when I can lift your discouragement, when I can heal your deeper pain, when I can restore that thing that you've been going through. As the word of God has said, may the cry of a prisoner come before him. There are people here with a burden about their family. There are people here with a burden about their lives, about their relationship, about their way of life. I don't know what makes you to come before here, but what I know today is a day of divine visitation. Father, we come before you, Almighty God. We humble ourselves before your presence, God. We cry before you, Almighty, for your healing right now. Release yourself just before the Lord. Let God know your pain. Let God know your heart. Let God feel your spirit. Let the Holy Spirit now move. Oh, shakara baba 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 shetere baba bosotoro kashanta. Oh God, I thank you for the healing right now. I thank you for the touch, the deeper touch in the hearts, in the minds of people right now. Thank you for the release now. Release, release, release. I am speaking right now in the mighty name of Jesus. As we bring down and bring forth every force of darkness.
Just call on that name tonight, the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. Call on that name. He is the Lord, our God, our healer. Oh, there is none like him. There is none like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Demons tremble at that name. Healing comes in that name. Breakthroughs. Breakthroughs are brought to us in that name. His power is released. Fresh anointing, fresh oil flows in that name. Your glory, your glory, your glory, Lord. The cry of a prisoner, it comes before you, Father, this hour, this moment, this time. Oh God, to set every prisoner free. To set every prisoner free, oh God, it comes. Rebe kando robo shata la ba sondo robo korobosha. Oh, rebe kenda la ba shoto robo shikorabasa. To set every prisoner free. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Rebe kendo robo shita rabasaya mama so rebe ke. More, Jesus, more of your glory. More of your power, Lord. Oh, more of your love experienced in our heart, Jesus. Our cry, our cry, our cry is to you, Lord Jesus. You are the author. You are the finisher. Hallelujah. Oh, what you've begun in us, you bring to completion, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Your word declares we call unto you and you will answer us and show us great and mighty things, Lord. Oh, even as you did for Joseph, Lord. A young man with no hope, Father, with a sentence of death over his life. The good news came. Oh, Father, bring good news tonight, Lord, to each heart, to each life, to each hurting soul, Lord. To hear the desperate cry of your sons and your daughters. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We look to you alone, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy, so worthy, so worthy, so worthy, Lord. So worthy of our praise, Lord God. Oh, we're not calling on a God who has ears but cannot hear and a mouth but cannot speak. Who has eyes but cannot see, but we call on the living God. Hallelujah. Oh, the one who hears and who answers prayer. We come to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship Him. Lift your hands and worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Just stand up where you are now. Just stand up. We want just to release the presence of God is here very heavy. I tell you, there have been people who have been waiting a day like this, and this day has come. 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 Listen. That says a lot. You shall not be ashamed anymore. You shall not be put to shame anymore. That says the Lord. Every discouragement, every plans of the enemy to bring destruction over your life today is destroyed in the name of Jesus. Shekatalababosh. I see God restoring health. Yes. Health. Yes, yes, yes. Every plan the enemy had over your life today, it has been found. It has been destroyed, says the Lord. My daughter, I love you, says the Lord. I love you. I value you. You are special, says the Lord. I just see your life. You have walked through many discouragement. Many people, you have trusted them. And on the way, they have dropped your trust. You give people your heart. When you trust people, you give them their heart, but they don't value it. And they are now looking back to to see you being ashamed, the Lord is saying you shall not be put to shame. In the name of Jesus. Give God praise. Lift up your hands before God. Healing is here. Just feel such a presence of God in this place. Such a presence of God in this place. Such a presence of God. I'm just going to give one more word, and then we're going to have that with him, Pastor Ibax has requested, and then that will be over. It is your time, says the Lord. It is your time. I don't know why God is saying it's your time. It is your time. It is your time. It is your time, says the Lord. Son, it is your time. You've tried. You've tried. You have toiled. And time has come. God wants to show his glory upon your life, upon your family, upon the works of your hands. God is restoring joy. He's restoring joy in your family, says the Lord. It will never be taken away from you again. It will never be stolen away from you again, says the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. I see your family coming back to God. I see your family coming back to God. I see God restoring authority in your life. Authority, power, strength. God is telling me he has made you the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. It's a time of your visitation. It is a time for your visitation. It is a time for your visitation. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands before God. Bless him, the name. Bless the name of the Lord. There's a much big revival coming over this church that has never experienced before. There's such an anointing. There are people who have been paying the price, praying to experience day like this. The days have come, says the Lord. The day has come that when the pastors and the ministers here will walk in a double portion of the anointing than they have never walked before. The day has come for reward over this church. The day have come for open door, open door, open door. Listen, 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 listen. There's an open door before you now. You've been struggling, trying to open it by yourself. You cannot do it. God is now opening it for you. You don't need anyone to open it for you. The Almighty God says, I'm opening for you, daughter. I am opening for you. And this time, it will not be shut. This time. Can you identify what I'm saying? Many times you have tried to open doors and they cannot open. Try to do things, force yourself into things they cannot open. But this time, the Lord is saying he has opened for you. You will see favor. Receive the favor of God now in the name of Jesus. Favor of God. Pastor, you are singing all of your... Okay, just give us the sound. Yes. Lift up your hand. Let us worship the Lord in the presence.
I trust in you.